Awesome. All right. So, first off, I'd like to ask, what are your pronouns?
My pronouns are they, them.
Awesome. All right. Would you prefer to remain anonymous, or is it all right to, say your name and whatnot?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. So, in that case, would you mind introducing yourself a little bit?
Sure. My name is Corey Trimble. I'm a student at St. Mary's University doing a combined degree. So I'm working on my master's and my bachelor's at the same time. Estimated graduation 2021 for the master's.
Awesome. And where are you located currently?
At the moment, I am in London, England.
Oh, wow, that's crazy. So yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that because that's definitely pertains to what we're looking for here. But we kind of want to get a little bit of background. So prior to the pandemic, did you take your classes online, in person, a hybrid, or what did you do?
I have mostly taken classes in person. I don't think I've actually ever done a fully online class, but most classes had some kind of online component. So most of the work, luckily, is very similar to before we went fully online.
Yeah, for sure. So since you took them mostly in person, was the change difficult, to make, going over to fully online?
I would say that there are some things that are difficult and some things that are perfectly fine. The work itself is usually like, you sit in front of the computer, you type out some words, you make diagrams and all that. It's really the same. I would say that for me personally, sitting through lectures, I do a lot more like learning, I think, and I guess I find myself being more attentive, but when it comes to like the homework and stuff like that, I feel that there is really no change.
Yeah. That's yeah, no, that's a really good point. And in any time that you've been doing online learning, have you noticed that you feel like you suffer from tech fatigue or tech overload? Is that something, or are you just like, no, it's totally fine?
I would say, so I only have classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and on Thursdays I have class from 2 p.m. your time until what is it, 9:15 your time. So in, London time, that means I start class at 8 p.m. and I get finished with class at 3:15 a.m.
Oh my
So I'm not sure if it's so much hours of sitting in front of the computer, like paying attention to just faces on a screen, or if it's just genuinely being really tired because of how late it is at night.
goodness. So, how is that affecting, do you go to work, or is that affecting your work schedule, or are you relying on funding?
Well, interesting question. So during the semester that the pandemic started, I was actually working four jobs,
Oh my
which
gosh.
was way too many jobs. They were all part-time, and three out of the four were supervised by Dr. Wick. So the work wasn't like stuff that I wasn't interested in or anything. It was just so much all the time, and I had to keep doing that work even after we went fully online during the spring semester. And I have always worked. Like, I can't remember since I've been of legal age to work, and even before, honestly, I have always worked. But this semester, because I'm here in England, legally I can't work, I can't do paid or unpaid labor, therefore I don't do any work this semester. Which is really fortunate. I am on scholarships,
That's
but
great.
yeah, it's such a relief. I'm
No,
not doing over 40 hours anymore. Now I just get to kind of sit around and just worry about doing my classwork.
yeah, that sounds great. So How long are you planning on being in England?
Until January, probably about mid-January. Yeah, just until the semester is over. This is like a really lucky situation for me because I've been dating someone who is from England since spring of 2019. And it's really rare for us to get a long stretch of time where we can see each other. But because I'm not needed for anything in person, I can just do everything remotely from here. So we get to actually spend some time together and live together and stuff like that. While I visit.
That's fantastic. So if classes continue to be online for, it seems, for the foreseeable future, how do you think you'll adapt to that, especially since you'll be back in the States by then?
Well, I think it'll be a little bit easier being on the same time zone and sort of schedule, but I don't know. Right now, because I've just been, like, staying with my boyfriend and his family for a while, I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do for the spring semester. If I'm going to go back to my home, stay somewhere in San Antonio. One of my friends is apparently trying to find someone to replace her, and she has a roommate. And I asked her, like, oh, would you want me to replace you in January? Are you willing to, like, wait that long to move somewhere else? And she was like, yeah, so I might end up in San Marcos taking her place. It's all kind of up in the air.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I feel like one of the things that has come with online learning has been flexibility. So how do you stay sane and not overload yourself? I know you've got more free time than you've had in the past. So what have you been doing other than your classes?
Well, honestly, I like taking naps. I've been playing new video games and stuff like that. I've been working on a project with Dr. Wick, the Old Spanish Trail exhibit project, for a while. It was meant to be completed, I think, in, like, April. but I've been catching up with that while I can. I'm planning my capstone. My boyfriend's family has a garden, so I got to go out and, like, pick berries and do stuff like that. I've just been having fun and trying not to stress too much about the future. I've been looking at other graduate schools for once I finish this master's and stuff like that.
That sounds great. So out of all of this, what's one thing that you didn't expect about online learning? It could be good, it could be bad, just something that you were a little surprised about.
I think that the students are, like, bolder since they don't have to see the professors in person. During one of my classes, we all, and this is, like, I guess something that would have generated some amount of controversy, whether we were in person or online. But we all had to pick hashtags to research. This is at the undergraduate level. We all had to pick hashtags to research, and we had to respond to articles about social media and stuff like that. And some of what these students were posting was literal alt-right propaganda and, like, linking, like, alt-right YouTube channels in their responses. And I just thought to myself, like, would they... would they have expressed this side of themselves so readily if we were just having discussions in person instead of having to make, like, blog posts or do discussion boards, you know? That level of anonymity, I think, makes people think that they're kind of untouchable, I guess, that there's no, like, consequences to what they say, because that's what people are used to, you know, being online and being on social media. You can be anonymous and you can just say whatever you want, I guess, and you don't really get backlash. But when it's, you know, I know you, I know your name, we go to the same school, we're in the same class, the professor has to see it too. It's like, wow, these people are insane, actually.
Yeah. And do you think that, you know, this has been coming for a while, or do you feel like that the COVID pandemic and online learning and you know, not seeing people as often as you did before, do you think that that has, you know, emboldened people? Or do you just think that this is something that would have happened regardless?
In terms of seeing this kind of content during classes, do you mean?
Yeah, during classes more specifically, because, you know, we can't control what happens outside of class, but a professor generally, you know, maintain some kind of order over a physical classroom, but it's a lot harder online.
Yeah. To some extent, I think it's something that I've already kind of experienced. being someone, I don't know. Being someone who I think presents kind of feminine, I'm used to being kind of like talked over or someone explaining my point back to me or just making remarks that are kind of either, I don't know, I think people express their bigotry in different ways in person than they do online, but it's been this way for a while. I think it is exacerbated though by the online learning environment, but there's also good things, I think. I personally prefer text to calls because I like to kind of plan out what I'm going to say more, you know, kind of like compose a response. So whenever we do like blog posts or discussion boards or something like that, I can sit there and I can say exactly what I want to.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Yeah. So what would you say is the best and the worst thing about online learning?
The best thing I would say is that I don't have to waste time getting ready in the morning or, you know, having to walk all the way to class or drive onto campus or anything like that. That's been really good. That, and I think whenever I have classes in person with professors, I think I'm used to just kind of like, you know, keep my head down, just do whatever the work is, don't really say very much. But online, I feel like I have more opportunities to, like, shoot them an email or, because I do prefer to, like, write things out rather than just kind of just say them off the cuff. I get more opportunities, I think, to kind of show my appreciation for my professors or start conversations with them. Because I don't have to be, like, on my feet trying to sound like I'm not stupid or anything. But definitely worst thing is, well, both the missed opportunities and I think how some of the students are acting now that they don't have to interact with anyone and they don't have to see these people in person. And missed opportunities, I mean, like, I would have really loved to have some of these classes in person, like, Dr. Root is a really great lecturer, and he's great online, too. It's basically the same lectures. I just find that it's different whenever I'm, like, sitting, you know, in my bed or something listening to a lecture than if I'm there in person and I can, you know, raise my hand and ask questions without it being, like, the super awkward Zoom etiquette thing where it's, like, you're trying to get the professor's attention, but they haven't checked the screen or, you know, that kind of thing, which isn't, I think, a fault of any of the professors. It's really hard because Dr. Root is, I think, the only history professor who's doing hybrid classes where it's in-person and virtual. So he has some students sitting in the class with him and then, you know, a screen full of kids on Zoom watching him lecture. That has to be really difficult to kind of, you know, parse. I would have really liked to have class with one of my friends. This was the first class in a while that we've had together technically, but it was online and it was asynchronous, so we actually didn't really see any of each other. So I think that kind of sucks for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree with all of that. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this and help me out with this interview. Do you have any questions of me?
Not really. I understand that this is for the COVID-19 archive that Dr. Wick is having everyone in their grad class do.
Yes.
So, And is that being hosted by a larger institution?
Yes, it's a different school, actually. I can't remember off the top of my head which school it is, but it's a lot of volunteers.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, it was nice talking with you as well.
Awesome. Okay, if you have any questions, you think of something between now and whenever, just, you know, shoot me a message and I will answer it to the best of my abilities.
Cool. All right. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too.